They're bros. They're dads. One is big ball sack Harry J. Riley. The other is cautionary tale Philip Kupczynski. Welcome to Bro Dads.
I wish I had like that type of butthole, like a revenge type butthole where you can just shit own stuff whenever you wanted to.
I bet that's what chickens were like before we domesticated them. Predator comes out, just fucking 20 eggs in their face. Ah, what is this? You know? Because, I mean, why does a chicken need to lay so many goddamn... You're not seeing a snake walk around, like, every day. He's like, goddamn. Like, people are like, what's wrong with that snake? He's just laying
How do eggs work anyway? So does a chicken just have these motherfuckers in them and they're just like bloop, bloop, bloop?
Yeah. Once they start laying eggs, and I guess that's why they want to get roosters around, because then they start making the eggs constantly. Yeah.
So basically the egg industry is entirely based on hoes being hoes.
Did you say hoes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These chickens are hoes. They got a rooster around and
But I don't know. I mean, the chicken industry must have figured out a way to just, you know, they're just making them lay eggs like crazy. I thought, because it seems like a lot of people, and also I've heard that a fertilized egg has better nutrients because it's just starting to be an embryo. Yeah.
But once you fertilize it, though, it feels like the lifespan on when you can eat them off.
Oh, no, you do not want to sit there and, you know, picking wings out of your teeth.
Yeah.
I like a little baby bird bones. I love those. I love that unhashed beak crunch. No, that's that is a delicacy, I think, in some countries.
Yeah, I forget what fagua. If I came up with
it's
that,
not foie gras.
Yeah, that was like, there's no way.
No, it's a thing in some Asian country where it's like to the point where they're like, the feathers are starting to form and stuff, and they're like, crunch, crunch. Dude, it's like street food. I mean, it's like a casual thing, yeah.
I tell you, most of this shit, like Norway, one of those Scandinavian area countries has something where the fish thing that they put lye on or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gefilte fish or whatever.
Yeah, that stuff. Have you smelled that? Mm-hmm. I've never smelled that. That's supposed to be, for a while, that was like a little internet dare thing. Ugh. You could order the can and then opening it was like making people rich.
Italy has, not Italy, but one of the, you know, because Italy was like, what they call them? Country states or state?
Like Rome?
Yeah, like they were all, before they were a country, they were just city states. They were states. So one of those little places has it's either a bread or a cheese or something that has the maggots in it.
Like, that's a very.
I feel like most of this stuff came about from extreme hunger.
Oh, yeah.
And then
for sure.
It was like, how does it taste? And they're like, not that bad, actually. And then they were just like, yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, well, it is funny, too, because they're like, oh, no, this is how what we do. We take the fish and put it in a seal's bladder. And you're like, what, dude? Why would you do that? It's tradition. And like, this needs to end.
Yes. Just because it's a tradition doesn't mean it's good. I mean, lynchings were a thing. And then we said, oh, we should probably stop doing that. That's weird. You know what I love? The last like lynching in America was of two white dudes. They kidnapped and killed a kid out in California, I think. And it's just like every story you ever heard of these situations where they were like, get those motherfuckers. And they in jail and stuff. And the cops are sitting there trying to protect them. And they're like, you give us those motherfuckers or we will kill all of you. And they were like, yeah, you can have them. And they just, and then there's photos of people just, you know, like.
With the dead bodies.
Yeah, they're hanging from the tree and they're like.
Yeah.
That is why Florida doesn't want you to learn about the past because someone's granddad is in one of those photos like, yay!
Oh my God, dude. That's I'll tell you what though, back then, the citizens had the power more than the cops.
Yeah, man.
Dude, can you imagine if a mob rolled up to a police? I guess it kind of happened in Seattle in the former Republic of Chaz. but they don't.
You see how Comedy Bar is kind of rolling with the...
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I think that's fun what they did. If Comedy Bar canceled four comics in kind of a silly way, I think it would have been fine if they just didn't write that email.
Yeah.
But they leaned into it by going... Seattle. So what do they got as t-shirts now that say like, come get canceled at Seattle's, there's another one that's,
it says, I was canceled at Comedy Bar. Yeah. I was like, damn, that's a great shirt.
That is a smart shirt. Yeah. I also like Seattle loves drugs, but hates comedy.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. Speaking of Seattle, the weekend of April 21st, come catch me at Club Comedy.
Oh, right.
On the other side of, on the non-canceling side of Capitol. But we'll see. We'll try to get it. I'll try to really push some buttons.
You know what, man? Club Comedy is a really dope club. I like it.
Yeah.
If there was anything I would want to change, I would want more. I want a bigger space for seating purposes. But as long as it's working for them, you know, as long as they're making money. Right.
Well, they got to be one of the most expensive areas in Washington, if not the coming outside of, I can't imagine what their rent must be up there. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a difficult thing. You need a bigger space to sell more tickets, but to get big enough space, you got to pay that, you know, that bigger rent. Yeah. And then, you know, everything has to be remodeled.
Yeah.
I think it works for them. It works a lot better. Did you ever work their old place?
No.
Next to they had the Thai restaurant and you're on stage and you hear, hear the pans and clanging and shit. And you're like, oh my God. Like, I don't know if the audience could hear it. So then you're just kind of like, okay, just pretend everything's normal.
Yeah.
But their new spot, I like it a lot. But yeah, you're right. It only feels like it's about 100, 120 people, maybe.
I mean, if it fits over 100, I'd be surprised.
It feels about the size of Don's old room in Spokane. I'd say it's about that. I think it's. Yeah, it's maybe not quite. It's maybe not quite as deep, but I do. It might be. I bet it's just a bit shy of that.
Yeah, because Uncle D's had a lot of that backspace that was with that little stand thing.
Yeah.
And that walkway. So,
but that's another thing. Is now they have a kitchen. They have good booze. They have all that stuff. So they're moving a lot more. So they're like a real club now, man. It's fun. And they're, you know, you look at their booking. It's they've got locals, but they also get quite a bit of. Touring acts. It's funny because I'm like, would I be a local or a touring act to them? I don't really know.
Probably a touring act.
Yeah. Now that I booked Wichita. I don't know Wichita? I don't know the name of the venue because Looney Bins used to book Looney Bins, but then some guy, like one of the owners died of Looney Bins because I killed him for not booking me. No, I think he had a heart attack. Because I poisoned him for not booking. No, I don't know. I should probably shut the fuck up. It's so funny. It was like a detective scouring the death of 58-year-old Louis Lemoyne. I don't know if that's his name. I totally forget the guy's name. I wasn't a big fan of the Looney Bins. Because they wanted people to string together like four weekends. And I'd be like, no, you can just live in our condos between weekends. And I'm like, oh, cool. So do you guys provide rope to hang myself? Is there a nearby? Dude, and actually, out of the clubs I went to with them, Wichita was the most fun. But their Oklahoma City club. Like, I've never worked in food service, but clubs have kind of showed me that world a little bit.
Yeah.
I went back to their kitchen. I was like, I'm not ordering shit.
It was that bad back
then? The oil looked like it was just they're like, well, we replace it in January.
Oh,
and it's, man. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what oil looks like all the time, but I feel like I've seen cooking oil before and it normally doesn't have, it's like, this looked like, like the like Jiffy Lube's oil.
Using the fuck out of that oil.
Oh yeah, man. It just looked and I don't know if they just cover it. Can you just cover oil? I thought you had to like replace the oil every day. Fuck, man. It did not. It just, I was like, oh, this looks bad.
Oh, man. Maybe,
yeah, Oklahoma is one of those states where they're like, we pull the oil out of the ground, reuse it. A trail of tears. It was just people having diarrhea at all our restaurants. But that's such an offensive joke to people. But the I don't know. I never pursued Looney Bins, but then when someone hit me up out of Wichita, I was like, yeah, I like to try to leave the Pacific Northwest once a year. I don't even really pursue leaving the Pacific Northwest. Like, I could probably go to. It's just hard because the pay is the same.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you looked at the Bark Entertainment emails, a lot of those are saying, like, you can get 500 for the weekend or 375 with the hotel.
To headline?
No, it's feature stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like, and what it's like, the well, fuck? Shit, there's man. No way.
At 375, you're going to be in the hole.
Yeah, dude. No, it's, I mean, that's headlining these clubs is not much better. And the reality is, though, the Bark Entertainments, they're such an A-list club.
Yeah.
I was looking at what I did for them last year, and I'm like, 90% of it came from corporate.
Yeah.
Because I'm not selling any tickets for them, you know? So if you don't sell tickets, they can't book you no matter how much they like you, you know?
I mean, I put in for their feature stuff all over the, is like when they sent the email, if it worked in my schedule, I tried to get, I put in for it, because if I can get in, I think the, you know, with merch sales, I can
make a profit. Their merch situation is insane.
Yeah.
But after, you know, if you have to handle flying and ground transpo,
yeah,
that's where it's just getting crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't look into it, but
well, I flew to Wichita. At the least. I flew to Wichita in 2020. Last time I was down in that area, and it was 400 round trip. This was 800.
My God.
And they will pick me up, so my ground transpo is covered.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Like now, Southwest, I think, might have some deals that are a little better. There's maybe ways to get around it, but I was like,
I don't want to deal with the Southwest BS.
Yeah.
Well, it never sounds like it's.
So, this is what happened. I booked through Southwest. It was $400. I showed up. All the flights were canceled. So I had to fly through Alaska for $600 in 2020. That's what happened. So then Southwest reimbursed me. And I think I got like $500 or something. Yeah. In credit. Yeah. So
how are they in operation still?
Because, man, you can fly around super cheap and they're somehow not as bad as Spirit. Southwest still is better than Spirit. I think it's probably because of their rewards program.
Oh, okay.
And they fly out of more space. They fly out of more places. Okay. But yeah, no, that like lining up for your seat. That just feels like it's going to turn into a Mad Max situation.
Yeah, I don't even understand how they even thought. Who thought that would be a great idea to get a bunch of people who are already tensed up about traveling?
Yeah.
And go, all right, now fight.
That's the craziest shit. Yeah. I don't like it. But, you know, I think then by them not having to manage that bit of software, it makes it that much cheaper for their kind of like internal infrastructure. Because if I think that takes a bit to set up software wise, especially in that big of an entity. So
yeah, especially when you got people from different areas and picking seats. It's got to be a pretty robust system because I was using Deltas and you could see flaws in it where somebody else might be wanting a seat. So the system just says, well, this person is already in the in the about the pay thing. So let's just block this seat from everybody.
You know, change it, or if they change the plane, you know, to one of those planes that sucks people out. I booked Alaska. I was like, you guys should be running deals right now. You just had a person almost get sucked out of your plane. But that's I guess that, you know, that whatever. So
the airline industry is right now, I think, you know, like when an industry is just so shady and like and like just dilapidated. Like cable used to be like that. The cable used to have these fiefdoms where each section of the country would just own their own thing.
Yeah, we ran the cords to your house. Yeah. We own you.
Yeah, and then they would just screw. Like Comcast would do, was it so historically bad that they changed the name to Xfinity so people would stop associating terrible service with their company. And airlines are just like that. But because you have to, if you want to get someplace in a reasonable amount of time, you got to use an airplane. So it's kind of like the mob. It's like, well, who else are you going to go to? You going to go to Amtrak with all those fucking meth heads and train derailments? You think our planes are bad? Yeah. Have you seen a fucking railroad track?
Planes are insanely safe compared to like every other mode of transportation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, like, dude, Greyhound, they don't crash that much, but, you know, there's like, they got like a lost and found of people who got their dicks cut off on the Greyhound. Dude, the amount of amputations that happen on Greyhound, it's so crazy. The questionnaire you got to answer at Greyhound is worse than Facebook, because they're like, what school does your child go to and how could I trick them into a bathtub of ice? Yeah, you each come, you'd be like, I finally made it, mom and dad. Your mom and dad, their organs have been harvested from the Greyhound thugs. It's dead.
The only time I rode Greyhound, I was coming back from tech school in Biloxi, Mississippi, going back to South Carolina. And I bought a Sega Dreamcast. That was back during the PlayStation 2 days. So I bought a Sega Dreamcast and I had a keyboard, like just a normal, you remember those old ass keyboards that had that weird, like creamy looking color? Just something like that. And I put it in a duffel bag. That's in Atlanta. Someone just rifled through and stole that keyboard. I paid $12 for that keyboard in 2002 money. So, and I was like, I guarantee you, this motherfucker does not have a keyboard, have a computer.
Oh my God, this is like a 1950s or 60s like road novel, but recreated in the 90s, early 2000s.
After that experience, I was like, because some of the Greyhound stations, I remember specifically Alabama, getting out and using the bathroom, and there was standing water at least 2 inches high.
Ooh, that's bad.
And people, it looked like they were peeing in the urinal. So I'm like, where the fuck is this water coming from?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what is the... There's got to be sewer water.
Yeah, well, if it's not draining.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if it's just sitting there and it can't drain, that's something.
Out of all the liquids, I was going to say something really ridiculous. I was going to say I'd rather have sperm on me than sewer water, but I was like, I don't want either of those on me.
Yeah, well, you know, that is funny because, like, could you imagine if... You know when they got to go, like, you ever seen, like, in the big, like, sewer systems?
Yeah.
The guy, they're like, it's like, well, it's not good work, but it pays good. And then it's like a guy in a scuba outfit, like, scuba diving in sewage.
Yeah.
What if that was all sperm? Would you be like...
Oh, my God.
Dude, you know what? I bet people would be like, I don't want to admit this, but it is so fun to swim around in. I'm swimming and all the swimmers, they think I'm the king of the spur.
That's the title of the episode.
Welcome to Bro Dads.
Welcome to Bro Dads.
Right. This will be we're 20 minutes in. This will be a little bit of a shorter. Yeah. So we got a hockey game to get to
all
tonight.
Because of me, I drove down the wrong. And I do that from time to time because I forget.
Oh, I hear you. I am terrible with, like, having routes.
Yeah, man. Like, my normal route takes me, and it's a clear, like, sometimes I get here early because it's just so easy to get here.
Yeah, driving through the country.
Yeah, but Ruby, man, is people that all of them are driving slow. Some of them are just like doing things where you're like, how did you get a driver's license?
Yeah.
How did you? I find it really fascinating that people pass the driver's test. And then as soon as they got handed the license, they were like, fuck those rules. I do what I want out here in these streets.
My son, when he got his driver's license, two days later, he called me. Well, no, not my younger son.
Oh, okay.
My older son, when he got his driver's license, he called me 2 days later and he was pulled over in a gas station. He goes, Dad, I just ran a red light. What do I do? Like, he was going and he thought he could make it, but it just turned red as he was hitting the intersection. And I'm like, well, it's good you called me, but you got to stay there because they're coming for you.
You're scaring the shit out of
him. He's like, what? I'm just messing with you. Just leave, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I go, you might get a ticket in the mail, but I don't know.
We'll unless it's happens. Blatant. One time I ran a red light and it was blatant.
Yeah.
And I got pulled over and I was like, yeah, I deserved it. The whole time the cop was like, you know why I pulled you over? It's like, you. Come on, man. You know why you...
Oh, they even got pulled over. It wasn't like a mail.
Yeah, there on Ruby. It was the...
Why do you keep taking this guy, man?
And I've gotten more tickets on that division Ruby than any other place. I've gotten two tickets out there.
At that point.
Yeah. In his situation, this is the way I think about it. If I cross that white line, there's no turning back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if it's red when my car is past that line, I don't consider that running. I don't consider that running a light.
No, and I don't think most would. But if it's like red, 1-1000, 2-2000, you should.
I've seen people do that shit, and I'm like, dude, you could have gotten someone killed.
Absolutely. And I did this conversation I have a good idea.
Okay.
Run a red light with your head out the window, flipping off the camera. It's going to be, I don't know what the ticket is, 120 to 300 bucks.
Yeah, I think it was 100 when I got my ticket.
Pretty sick headshot, though.
Yeah.
Just running the red light. I'm doing this for content. I almost did that with a half marathon one time.
Yeah.
I was training for a half marathon, and I was like, I was going to finish with a cigarette, a lit cigarette in my mouth.
That would have been dope.
I got the shirt and everything.
Yeah.
Because what was stupid is they're like, come the day before and get all your stuff. Huh. And then so I showed up the day before and I was like, man, this is good. I had never ran 12 miles before.
Holy
I had
shit.
Run 8 before training for this.
Man.
And then I got up the morning of and I was like, I'm not going to do it. And I just stayed home.
What?
Because I never ran in the morning to train. I always ran in the afternoon. And so I was up at 6 in the morning like, what the fuck? And everybody I knew who did this shit had like all these people. They're like, you can do it. And like, I didn't tell anybody about it. My wife was like, you're still doing that? I'm like, I don't think so. And so now I got this shirt of shame in my drawer. Wandermere half marathon. I'm like, man, I ain't run this shit.
That seems like a big hole in that system.
Oh my, yeah, no, they should definitely be. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a big, you like a medal.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I think, you know, I didn't get the medal, obviously, but you know, I got the shirt and probably maybe a water bottle that I threw away.
Yeah. Like when you go to a comedy festival and give you a little gift bag and it's like, so you just gave me a bag of shit to throw away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not, none of this stuff. Like when I did the Upper Left Comedy Festival, I was like, the only useful thing in this is the bottle of water.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in here. Like if there was some hand sanitizer or something, I'd be like, oh, all right.
Did they did this festival just 1 year. It's Hollywood, North Hollywood. So they called it the NoHo Festival. It was good. It was fun. But they gave away so much pot.
Oh, shit.
That It was crazy. Like, and these high dosage edibles.
Yeah.
That would be illegal in Washington. They don't sell. You can't buy something that is 100 grams.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. It's like, I think the most you can buy in Washington is maybe 10 grams. Like one item can be 10 grams.
Oh, wow.
So this is, yeah, they were selling these like 100 gram Rice Krispie treats.
Holy fuck. Dude,
there was one, they had an energy shot that was 500 grams. Milligrams. I don't know if it's grams or milligrams. It's probably milligrams. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it was 500. The dose was 500. And I was like, this is crazy. It's the size of one of those little like energy shots, like the 5 hour energies.
Yeah.
And they at the end of the festival, they were just fucking, hey, you want this? You want this? You want this? And
that's probably why they only did it once.
Well, I gave that to a comic, Willie Simon. And then like, 2 weeks later, he crashed his car.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, yo, man, is it because of the weed? But no, he said no. So I didn't almost kill Willie. But yeah, that was a pretty fun thing. But it was like, you know, we got put up. We got a lot of stage time.
Oh, that's good.
Some of us got passed at the club. But I was like, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of it all, it was kind of like, this was just a fun thing. Like, none of those comics, you know, I mean, it was kind of cool to meet some of those comics, but, you know, I look at shit like that and I'm like, I don't know what, you know, now granted, if it had become a bigger deal and if the ticket sales were a bigger deal, maybe it would have become a bigger thing like Moon Tower or, you know, but those really big festivals like, you know, JFL, and now I think Moon Tower is kind of moving into that space.
Yeah.
They use up multiple venues. Yeah. So like this NoHo Club, it has three stages.
Oh, okay.
So they had an outdoor stage, an indoor stage, and like a real small one.
Okay. So it's more like that seems to be a thing that's in a lot of these California clubs is multiple stages.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a cool idea because you can have a smaller space. Yeah, I mean, the Comedy Store is like that.
Yeah.
And then the new Joe Rogan Club is like that. I mean, he modeled it somewhat after the Comedy Store.
And I guess Bark Entertainment did something kind of like that with Tacoma Comedy, but they just didn't have the floor space to do it in that one building. So they just took it to another location. And, you know, when they first announced it, a lot of people was like, huh? But when you think about it, it's like, well, there's...
No, it's fun for them to have another place I don't get booked at.
Dude, I think you would... I think you could get booked there because that's...
Nope.
I feel like the... Really? Because yeah, I feel dude, like I'm the line... I feel like the line for... Because I've seen some people that they've booked there for the weekend, and I'm like...
Yeah, they've given me a lot of opportunities. I just haven't sold tickets. So the last time I was in Tacoma, I sold 2 tickets. So, dude, if you just don't sell tickets, they're not going to book you. You know what I mean? Like, if I lived in Tacoma, they'd probably hit me up to fill in for, you know, random shit or maybe throw me a Thursday or Sunday or something. But, just as a free show.
I know that they kind of... They look at the area and what's in it, and that's how they kind of plan everybody below headliner for booking.
Yeah.
Because there's a comic, I don't want to say that name because Shauna might listen, and then she's going to scour my Instagram and then get mad at me. But this person is getting booked in the Oklahoma club every, like, month as, like, a feature. And I mean, it's outrageous. I don't know the talent level in Oklahoma City, that area, but this person is getting booked constantly.
I do think it's like under what a million person city should be.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Bark Entertainment kind of goes in these areas that in developing markets, you know, which is cool, but you know, if they open in Nashville, you got a strong ass comedy scene there. You open in Chicago, you got a strong ass comedy scene there.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to Louisville or like Boise right now has a very like it. Well, like think of Spokane before they came here.
Yeah.
It felt like a strong comedy scene because people got along. There were tons of shows. But the reality is, because there was no A-list comics, there was no touring comics that were coming back that people could look at, it was like, this isn't really, I mean, it's not really strong. It's strong for an amateur scene. But that and that Boise, I was there, I don't know when I was there, a year ago, year and a half ago. That's what it felt like. And it was funny. I was talking to someone else about that. It's Greg Beecher, who used to be in Spokane. I was like, he said the same thing. He's like, this feels like Spokane before we got an A-list comedy club. Because once business, once a industry comes in, you know, to some extent, they people will see it. And I mean, I don't know, maybe but that it's crazy to me that that would be the case in Oklahoma City, because they had this Looney Bin club there forever. But
yeah, it seems like that club though was very much built out of the old time, like the Dawn
Parkins,
where so it was like you if you work here, this is the only place you can work, and had these like strict.
Well, for headliners, for sure, but I don't think for the others, dude. But the guy that emceed for me, by the end of the fucking weekend, I was calling him Timothy McVeigh.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, I was like, hey, Timmy. He's like, why are you calling me that? I was like, because you're the Oklahoma City bomber, my man.
God damn.
I've seen MCs do very badly.
Yeah.
This dude was surreal. Like, how surreal. Bad he was doing? Yeah. For how confidently and then confident he was. It wasn't like he was bombing and being like, oh, I mean, I've seen people bomb and be like, oh, fuck, man.
Yeah.
He was not. Yeah, it was funny, dude. And I mean.
All right, here's a quick question. Would you rather have a comic that's overly perceptive with their material, where they're like, even if they did a really good set, they're like, oh man, I kind of mess up here. Or someone who's under perceptive and like you described, think they did well, even if they did poorly?
I would much rather have someone that's nitpicky about their set, because the problem is that other scenario is the most, is the scariest aspect of show business, which is delusion.
Yeah.
That's scary. Yeah. I mean, think about how scary that is compared to any, what if you're a fucking bus driver and you're cutting people off and it's always that asshole's fault. You know, I mean, delusion is the most scary, it's one of the scariest things. Delusion is how some idiot goes to a double black diamond and is like, I got this.
Yeah.
And then is getting heart flighted out of there.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, delusion. I mean, even putting that attitude towards it, would you ever replace comic with surgeon? Do you rather have a surgeon that does an operation and goes, man, I can make that. I can do that better. I can be more efficient. I think I could do this. Or a surgeon who's fucking, you know, dropped his wedding ring in some old lady's esophagus. And it's like, it happens. Yeah, dude, I got it good, man. She's going to poop it out. No big deal.
The reason why I ask is because, you know, and if people listening, they might go, oh, well, it's obvious. I would want somebody who's overly perceptive of what they're doing on stage. So I feel like sometimes a lot of these overly perceptive people kind of hinder their progression. Like a Ryan McComb. Like he was so, especially in the early days, he was so like, you know, this is too long and I need to cut these things and do this and that. That he was kind of almost delaying his progress higher. And then you see somebody like, I don't want to say her name, but she was a local comedian and she was just so delusional about how she did on stage as opposed to what everybody else thought.
Yeah.
But she headlines sometimes and it's like, I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, but she's not probably building a fan base or selling tickets at legitimate clubs.
Yeah,
look at Ryan. I mean, I almost feel like, you know, it's a good idea to like chill for a while, just focus on getting better. Because I mean, I was so focused on getting booked early on that I definitely fucked up some relationships with clubs that will probably never have me back. I don't think Laughs, although it's weird, Laughs in Arizona, so, you know, I mean, it's like where, you know, the set maybe wasn't where it should have been for a feature set for a good last in Tucson's a very good club. You know, they book really strong features, you know, and they put them up in that condo. And yeah, maybe I featured there too early. Maybe, I don't know, you know, but so I think it's almost better to do it that way and just make sure you're just rock solid. Yeah, but, but then again, you know, I don't know. I mean, I see what you mean. It can definitely hold some people back, you know, when they question. I mean, it holds a lot of comics back who are good, who are just not focusing on like building their, social media, say, because they're like, oh, I shouldn't post this because I don't know if it's gonna be good.
I know, and that's what happens to me. It's a regret now that I was focusing more on other things than the social media aspect. Which, if you're a comic now, that's gotta be,
yeah, that should be your main focus.
Writing jokes, posting, getting a following on social media, and trying to get booked should be 1/3 each of your total.
Yeah, because if you get a following on social media, the credits that, well, like some clubs will just book you on the social media following.
Yeah.
But then some, they're like, well, we want credits. Well, so many of these credits now are trying to book their own social media. Dude, if you have 250,000 followers, you're going to be a lot more likely to get booked on a Jimmy Fallon, because they'll be like, oh, maybe they could bring some of those followers to our show. You know, dude, Shane Gillis on Saturday Night Live. I haven't looked at the ratings, but I guarantee the ratings on that Saturday Night Live.
It had to.
I have to believe it was better than.
It had to
be
a bump.
It had to. I mean, but also, if it wasn't even a bump necessarily, you got to realize like his fan base that was tuning into that is probably not the normal SNL fan base.
Yeah.
So that's, everybody's kind of like going like, it's like this game of like, okay, this person has enough followers for me to be interested, but not too many but I need to have enough so that they're going to be interested in me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're all walking around with our dowries wondering what class of society we should be in.
Yeah, it is, man. That's a good point.
That is a very perceptive thing. I just said,
with social media, it is kind of like us with the, you know, like under 2,000, I don't know. You got like 3,000, don't you?
3,600.
Yeah. You know, like, us, well, I'm not
10,000 is, you still ain't shit. I mean, because you can go from 2,000 to 10,000 very quickly if you have a thing pop.
And, you know, we are in the, like, if this was a caste society, we would be like in India, we would be living by that death river.
Oh,
scooping our water out where they just throw somebody's ashes in.
Well, but that's, you know, I think I've told you about this, the second largest tour in Canada, the Snowden Comedy Tour, they four comics make their annual salary off of this tour. And then there's also a bunch of other comics that come in. They sell out 1,500 to 2,000 theaters all across Canada. They are possibly the largest tour in Canada, and if they're not, it's only JFL that surpasses them.
Yeah,
dude, they got like 1,700 followers on Instagram. They barely have a Instagram. Like,
you think that's following. Their fault though?
No, what I'm saying is like, but like, look, they're that successful without it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, people. So there is this weird thing, and it's like, well, you know, how you don't, you, it's, you need to do it, but also like, do you, like, how important is it? I mean, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if after this season, their following increases because they are focusing on it more.
Yeah,
but it's also hard. I mean, they're touring their asses off.
Yeah,
and it's almost like they would have to hire a person to be filming and posting for them.
I mean, I know that's what Nate Jackson does.
That's where it's going. Yeah. I mean, that's where they're going as a tour. Well, if you're a comic and you have the resources, fuck, man, you may as well just travel with a videographer, you know. It makes sense. I mean,
if you're like one of these guys who not getting papered, getting the room papered for you, just hire somebody in that area. Someone in most of these cities knows some videography stuff.
Yeah,
and I mean, even if it's not
Well, you go to the club, go to wherever. Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can film like I can, but if you can't find a me, it's still better than nothing. Just have something. And I like how some comics will, the first 5-10 minutes, it's just like messing around with the town and you. And that's their content section. And then they get into their jokes. So you're still getting a show, and you're getting a little bit of something for the internet people.
Yeah, that's I always it's finally. But the thing is, like, doing it all yourself,
dude.
You know what I mean? Like, you do a show, and you're like, I think I got a minute, and then I don't even watch it later. I'm like, man, this fucking sucks. I don't want to sit around watching this.
Man, if you're gonna film it, you got to watch it immediately.
Yeah, you got to watch it immediately, and then you got to get into the rhythm of doing it. Yeah. That's why I'm like. Man, if I could just pay, I don't know. I might get into, the hard thing is, like, the only people that are affordable are usually comics.
Yeah.
And then it winds up being this thing where eventually you're like, I'm like, nah, man, I can't get you on the show. Sorry.
Yeah.
Here's $50 though, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, dog. So we got to wrap this up, man.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
We got a hockey game. We got to watch amateur hockey, dude. If we don't leave, no one's going to watch these teenage Canadians beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I got my 360 camera, so because they said no interchangeable lenses, I was like, I got
to get
something
into the game.
You couldn't bring a traditional camera.
No shit.
Yeah, I'm glad I looked it up because I was going to bring one.
That's
and
weird.
I would not. I'm not leaving $5,000
in your car outside of this. Yeah, yeah, dude, that'd be funny. What can you just bring, like, a big old video camera?
They said anything that looks dedicated to no video stuff at all. No video stuff at all.
Okay.
But they said it had to fit in your pocket. And I was like, I got some stuff that would fit in my pocket.
All right. So we're going to go fly a drone at the amateur hockey game. Dude, that's so funny. Like, dude, this new drone. That'd be so funny.
That would be so fucking.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, there's a terrorist.
You got any shows? Yeah, you got shows coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Phil Cobb Comedy. Well, Thursday, I'm opening for Dustin Nickerson. Private shows.
Damn it. Because that's the money giveaway at the
Out, dude. It's going to be packed. He sold out a month ago.
Shit.
Yeah, that guy's selling tickets, man. So anyway, I got and I'll be making a clean hundo, baby.
Guess what? He's the best clean comic in the country.
He's clean? Oh, shit, dude. I got to be clean for this?
Yeah, you didn't know?
No, I was going to do my old albino nutsack joke. Come book me for the circus.
He is not serious, people. You know who the hell Dustin Nickerson is.
Oh, that would be. I didn't know he was. But no one has said anything to me about being clean.
Maybe it's not. But he's clean.
He's clean. Yeah, he people like him because he's clean. I think I'm going to do a middle finger joke. I don't know. We'll see.
That is in his wheelhouse. I mean, last time I saw him, he did 15 minutes on drugs. So.
Oh, shit.
What's up?
Hey, man. Oh, hey, don't fucking come in here.
We're closing in. Just as we're closing up, our ride to the hockey game shows up. We're going to go watch some of these Canadians, teenagers, commit atrocities amongst themselves.
Yeah, crimes.
All right, take care.
You big bitches.
Oh, nice sneakers, dude.